Good morning. So glad today to be celebrating mothers. My own mother is here with us today and get to spend the day with her. Last week, Cassidy's mother was in, got to spend some time with her, and hope that you've got plans to spend time with the mothers in your life and can bless them today and honor them. Wasn't it such a blessing as we came up and we prayed for the young families, the young parents, as they begin this journey in raising children? And we think about raising children, it's a difficult challenge. I don't know that yet. We'll find out one day. But I know I was a challenge, as my mom's here today. And so we pray for these families. And as the saying goes, and as Rob mentioned, it takes a village to raise a child. And that's true, is that our prayer goes bigger than just the parents who are here today. But we're praying for all those who are a positive and good influence for these children. But I would take it a step further. Not only does it take a village to raise a child, but for us as the church, we understand that it takes a church to raise a child in the Lord. And I saw this come into fruition as, you know, I've enjoyed seeing your kids come back from college, as we've seen them come at various times, whether that be for Christmas or for Thanksgiving, or now, we see so many people just surrounding all of our college kids coming home. And as our college kids walk in the door, people of all different ages greeting them, saying, "It's good to see you, so glad you're here. What a blessing it is to be that you're back with us," asking about their semester, catching up, finding out about their future plans. And that's cool to see, because we see that this is already part of our culture here at Northeast, is that we understand this, is that it takes a church to raise a child. As Bible class teachers, as small group leaders, as people who've been in the same life group, we see all sorts of different kinds of influences that we have on the children and the teens, young people in our church. And last week, as we think about that word church for a moment, last week we began this series, This Is Church, asking ourselves this question: what has been your experience with church? Each person in this room has had a different experience and a different background. And we ask the question, what is church? If you were to boil it all down, and we looked at this chart as I've adapted from Bobby Harrington from Renew.org. He defined church, if you take it down to its simplicity of meaning, the word church, ecclesia, simply means an assembly. A group that is separated from the whole of the population, kind of brought out its most simple meaning. It's church is not a church word. And what I mean by that, it's not this religious word. It was a word used in society to just mean gathering, assembly, group. And so Bobby Harrington, he defines this word church, ecclesia, as a regular and intentional gathering of Christians. And so it's just this group of, it's just a gathering, it's an assembly, but specifically what sets the church, the ecclesia of Christ, apart from all other gatherings, all other assemblies you might be a part of, is that it's a gathering of Christ followers. People who are united based on the same convictions that Jesus is Lord and that he's King and he's reigning. But not only is it just the people who claim to be of Christ, but we believe that the church is this. It's not just the gathering, per se, the name of the gathering, but it's the actual people. It's the people who gather locally and universally. And so while our building is important, we take care of it, we are good stewards of it, it's hard not to have our identity in the building because it's such an important part of our meeting together, our gathering, which is the core of who we are. But ultimately, the church is the people. It's the people who are in the building, and it's the people who meet in homes. It's people who gather together in the name of Christ. And then the church is then also defined by its purpose, which is to help people become disciples of Jesus. And so if we put it in more simple terms, as Bobby Harrington does, he says a church is an intentional, relational gathering of disciples who meet regularly to help each other trust and follow Jesus. Okay, so in other words, the local church is designed to be a gathering where disciples grow together more like Jesus. This regular gathering together of Christ followers who come together to help each other grow. And he goes as far as to say this. He says that church is such a central part of life as a Christian that according to the New Testament, that it is not possible to envision a disciple in the New Testament without the local church. There's so many instructions, there's so many commands that through the apostles and the various teachers and writers of Scripture, that they give the church that are tied to this one anotherness, to us being a gathering, to us being together. And so much instruction in the New Testament about what it means to be a Christian are wrapped up in the gathering of the church, in us being together as a group. That's so much so that it's impossible to envision a disciple's life without being plugged in to a church. And so with all of this stated here, we ended last week by saying this, is that we must, as the church leaders, as the church members, as we come together, is that we must protect the purity of our mission and purpose as a church of Jesus Christ. And we take that serious. And sometimes that involves accountability and making sure that we are proclaiming a healthy message and that there's healthy behaviors being carried out among our gathering, among our church. Because we believe that the mission of Jesus to greater conform people to his image so that people could be more like him, to be more loving, more kind, more generous, and following their purpose that God has given them, that we believe in that mission so much that we realize it's also our responsibility to protect that, to protect the simple mission of the church, and to do whatever we need to do so that the gates of Hades, as we've been promised, as we looked at last week, that the gates of Hades might not prevail against the church. And it won't. But we partner with God in protecting the mission and the purpose of church. But as we think about this greater theme, as we've been talking about today, we've been praying for parents. We watched that video. We're celebrating mothers. I want to emphasize this as we continue our conversation about the church this morning. And I want to say this, is that family was important to Jesus. When you read through the Gospels, that's made very clear. You see Jesus' relationship with his mother. You see his relationship with his brothers and how clearly family was important to him. But at the same time, and where we want to emphasize this morning, is that Jesus redefined family. And he gave us a different picture of what family can be. And ultimately what Jesus does, as we're going to talk about today, is that he redefines family as being something bigger than flesh and blood, although our flesh and blood family is incredibly important to us. But he expands that a bit as we look at a few passages together this morning. If you will with me, look over at Matthew chapter 12. And Jesus here in Matthew chapter 12, looking at verses 46 through 50. And as he's here and he's teaching this crowd, he's teaching this group. And while he's in the midst of his teaching, he's interrupted. And in verse 46, it says, while Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. And so he's preaching, he's teaching, he's interrupted, says, your mother and your brothers are outside. And what Jesus then does is, or someone then comes up to him, and he tells him, it says, your mother and brothers are standing outside waiting to speak for you. And Jesus' reaction is surprising. It's not for someone who we believe that family is incredibly important to him, which the Gospels bear witness to that Jesus cared about his family. He loved his family. What he says next is very surprising. He says this. He says, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And you have to ask, okay, has Jesus gone crazy? Does he not know who these people are who claim to be his mother and his brothers? No, he's taking this as an opportunity to teach something, to redefine the word mother and brothers to something bigger. And then what he does next in verse 49, he says, pointing to his disciples, those who were following him at the time, who were various people from different places, men and women who had decided that he was worth following, and they believed in his mission, they believed in his purpose, they believed he was from God. He points to his disciples, and he said, here are my mother and my brothers. Here are my mother and my brothers. And of course, they would have been confused by that. What do you mean by that? And he continues on. He says, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my mother and my sister, or my brother, my sister, and my mother. And so what Jesus is doing here is that he's redefining the word family. Is that, yes, family means your flesh and blood. And by the way, those relationships are incredibly important. And by the way, you're going to be held accountable to how you treat your flesh and blood and those to whom you are connected to physically. That you have a responsibility to love and to take care of them. But at the same time, Jesus points to the fact that as people are being invited to what he is doing and what is ultimately called the church, his church, he's inviting people to a bigger family. The two aren't mutually exclusive, the physical family and the family he's inviting us to. And oftentimes, in many of our experiences, those two groups morph together where our physical family are also disciples of Jesus and do what he says here. But we also realize sometimes that isn't always necessarily true. Sometimes our physical family is different than the type of family that Jesus here is talking about. And at times, we could say that even could cause a rift. By being a follower of Jesus, rifts could be caused between us and our physical family. And I know for a fact, as many of us have experienced, that there's people in this room for whom that is true. And we understand that. And maybe even today, a day in which we celebrate mothers, maybe today's kind of a hard day for some of the people in this room. Because that's been true, is that your faith has caused a rift. And that's been difficult. That's been challenging. As you think about this day of family, to be able to think about those relationships that don't morph together where both our physical family and the family that Jesus talks about here, that those who do the will of the Father, that those groups are separate. They're not brought together. Of course, we want them to be brought together. We want them to be synonymous with one another. But we know sometimes they aren't. And what about then? And Peter, the apostle Peter, the disciple, one of his disciples, his name was Peter. And one of the things that he asked Jesus on another occasion addresses kind of this very tension. And sometimes our physical family is different than our spiritual family, our gathering, our people. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 28, Peter spoke up. Jesus had been teaching some of these very difficult things, some challenging teachings. And Peter spoke up and says, listen, we have left everything to follow you. Some of the difficult teachings had brought about questions in the disciples' mind as, you know, kind of who then can be saved? These things are difficult. These things are challenging. It's going to cause rifts in our other relationships. He says, listen, we've left everything to follow you. And here's what Jesus said in verse 29. He says, truly I tell you, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel. And I think that what he's saying here is what he means is can hit a couple of different levels. Part of it was just the fact that the disciples literally got up, left their homes, left their family in order to be his follower. Maybe not in necessarily kind of a rift sort of way, but just practically, in order to follow Jesus, to get up and follow his mission, to go around with him, right? It required that they, you know, get up and leave home, be on the road, if you will. There's that level. But also, I think we see the level where what we're talking about is that being a follower of Jesus caused disconnect between some of their family. They didn't understand, why are they giving everything? Why are they giving up everything to follow this teacher from Nazareth? And so it caused challenges. So there's that kind of level that this can have an impact on our family. And so he says, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, right? Sometimes we say, okay, put up with the challenges now because it's going to be worth it one day when we're in the perfect state in heaven. Well, Jesus, he says you're not going to have to wait till that time to receive some of the blessings of the kingdom. He says, no, in this present age, you will not fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, or fields. Right? He says that you're being invited. Yes, there's some of these rifts, some of these challenges you're going to experience in these other relationships. But even then, he's not leaving us without hope. And not that we can replace those relationships. But what he's saying is that his family, his church, his gathering is going to be a place of refuge for the faithful. A place where even though you might have broken relationships in your family, broken relationships in your other relationships, he's saying you're going to have a place where you belong. You're going to have brothers and sisters. You're going to have spiritual mothers. And although my relationship with my family are great, they're Christians, we have all those, I also, and I love my mom and value my mom, I also have other figures in my life too, where I've seen this to be true. When you're in the church, you're in the gathering, people who serve as family for us, right? If you look around the room, you see spiritual mothers, you see spiritual fathers, you see spiritual brothers and sisters, people who've been there for you, mentored you, challenged you, have been there to listen to you when no one else will. Maybe you've gone through a challenge in your own family, but you're able to come to someone in your church family, and they're there for you, just like a family member would. That's this family. That's what church is really meant to be about. And then I love that, I don't know that I love this, but it's interesting what Jesus then also emphasizes here. He says, so you're going to receive all these blessings along with the kingdom. He says, but along with those, persecutions. Isn't that kind of weird how he just kind of throws that in there? He says, listen, you're going to give up a lot. Yes, you've given up a lot, but I'm going to give you tons of brothers and sisters in Christ who are going to help you along your journey. People are going to love you, take care of you. Oh yeah, and along with a lot of different persecutions too. That's coming your way. But what that shows us is exactly what we've been talking about, is when you proclaim a life of faith and you truly live it out radically, there's going to be challenges. There's going to be rifts in relationships. There's going to be people who oppose you, whether those be family or not. Maybe that's just perhaps in a workplace or perhaps in a hostile government, which we do see around the world, Christians living in such situations. He says, but even in that, even along with persecutions, you'll receive the blessings of the kingdoms, because you're not in it alone. You've got a family. You've got a gathering, an assembly of people devoted to Christ, people to be there with you in these challenges. So I want to look at one more passage this morning, and then the lesson will be yours. So the scripture reading we looked at this morning, 1 Peter chapter 2. As Peter sort of is talking about Christ, he's talking about the foundation of the truth of Christ in our lives and what that means for the people of God. And Peter is writing in a context of a lot of different persecution, a lot of suffering that the people of God were going through. And as he does so, he begins to talk about the refuge that we have through Christ and through his people. In 1 Peter 2, verse 4, it says, and as you come to him, another way of saying, as you follow him, and as you come to him, the living stone, calling Jesus the living stone, which has been rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. He says, you also, Christ is a living stone, but you also, like living stones, you're being built together as this spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So as we look at the family of God, he says you're being brought together. You're being built up into something. That coming to church isn't just about you growing spiritually, but that coming to church is about us growing together to be more like Christ, to keep each other accountable, to encourage each other, to uplift each other. That's part of what church is about. It's not a center for your own spiritual growth, but it's a place where we come together as family. As spiritual brothers and sisters in Christ, mothers and fathers and sons and daughters, where we come together as a family around his table. And we encourage each other. We lift each other up. We're being built. We're being brought up as a spiritual house for the purposes of God. And as he goes through the passage, Peter says, listen, just as scripture says, there's going to be some people who reject this purpose. They reject the precious and cornerstone. They reject Christ as the true foundation for their own decisions and for the way that they live their life. And there's going to be people in your life who reject the cornerstone. There's going to be people that come up, even among our own assembly, who reject that purpose for themselves. He says, but the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Verse 7, now to you who believe, the stone is precious, but those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is what they were destined for. And that's going to arise. And that's where we practice what we talked about, protecting the purity of the mission of the church. He says, but you, those who are committed to this purpose. I love this passage. That's a beautiful passage. It says, but you, those who do accept Christ as the cornerstone, right? That foundation that allows you to build around, to build up the house as it should be. He says, but you are a chosen people. You've accepted this. You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You're God's special possession. Yes, you individually, you are God's special possession. That is true. But we together collectively, that's what Peter's talking about. You are God's special possession. That the local church, the church, churches that meet all over the world, that we are God's special possession because he built it. He's brought us together, given us a new imagination for what family can be for those who don't have it, those who have strained relationships, those of us who just, we need more strong relationships in Christ. He says, we've brought you together as the spiritual house, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful life. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So as we step away from this passage this morning, here's what we walk away with. We walk away with the truth. As we say, what is church? This is church. The church is a family bound together by the mercy of God. That we are all people who have had need for God's mercy, for the grace of Jesus Christ, redemption at the foot of the cross. We're all people who have been broken by sin and need to be healed by it. We're people who have experienced the mercy of God being built together into God's spiritual house, into his family. And that's what we want to be at the Northeast Church of Christ, is that we simply seek to be the family of God that Jesus intended us to be. Now, for a point of kind of practicality here, what we realize is that if we're called to be the family of God, people who come together as brothers, sisters in Christ to help each other grow, I think that this is a good point of practicality. Diana Garland, who wrote a book on family ministry, points this out. And I think it's important for us to think about for a moment. She says, a congregation of 1,000 people or even 300 people cannot, and she might say this a little stronger than I would, but cannot really be family to one another except for the sense of extended family. Now, what her point is, when we're in a big assembly like this, someone over here isn't having the fellowship with the person over here, right? They're separated by hundreds of people. And so in that sense, they're not getting the deep relational intimacy that is needed in the family of God. And so she points out, so within that community, within that 1,000-person gathering or within that 300-person gathering, she's not saying anything about it being wrong to be a certain size of church, but she said, but within that community or extended family, everyone needs to be folded into intimate family relationships, just like those Jesus had with his disciples and closest friends. And I think what she says here probably resonates with all of us. We know that it's not enough to just check our card, show up, be part of a church assembly, and go and have our cups filled as being part of God's family. It's not enough. It's not enough to just be in a big room like we would in any other assembly, in any other gathering. Right? If you go to a concert and be a part of that gathering, you're part of it if you're there. But a church is different. A church is, you're being part of a family. And in order to do that, we want to have opportunities where we're not just sitting in a room together, but where we're sitting around a table with one another. We want to create opportunities where we're not just at this building that we've all communally made, which is beautiful, which is wonderful, which will continue to improve to make our Sunday gathering wonderful and our gatherings throughout the week wonderful and a blessing in order to reach out, in order to reach in. But we also want to make opportunities where we're in each other's homes, where we're sharing life together at a deeper level. And we've got tons of ways for us to do that at Northeast. Is through our life groups, through our food and fellowship groups this summer. Right, opportunities to serve with one another. That's the goal. Is because we realize that as we grow, we need to make sure that we're continuing to commit to forming those intimate family relationships, just like we see Jesus having his disciples. Because it's not enough to just show up to church, but we need to be close enough as a family to know and to be made known So many times the darknesses that we wrestle with, the things that we continue to struggle with, they're allowed to live on because we've lived in isolation. We've not been with people who we can be truly accountable to. We've not lived with other Christians who truly know us, they know our challenges, and they can call us out when we need to be. But when we're in that close family relationship, that's how we grow, is one another, to be able to lift each other up, to love each other, to encourage each other, to say, hey, I see this in you, and it's really good. But have people close enough to us to be able to, hey, you said this, this landed that way, maybe where was your heart on that? And we can come together as brothers and sisters who love each other, who know one another, and we're known by one another. This is church. This is the family of God, to know and to be known by God and by family, by brothers and sisters in Christ. And so I'll say once again, we seek to be the family of God that Jesus intends us to be. Are you a part of that family? Are you someone who seeks the will of God with all of your heart, mind, and soul? Are you a disciple of Jesus? If so, then if you're interested in that, you want to commit yourself to Christ, and then we want to accept you with open arms into the family. That this is church. And we invite you to be a part of it, to be followers of Jesus together in life's ups and downs and the challenges that we face. If you have any need, you'd like to respond to the gospel today, you'd like to put on Christ through faith, repentance, and baptism, we'd love to be there with you. If you have other challenges going on in your life right now that you'd love to be edified by, you'd love to have a deep conversation where you just put it out on the table and you have prayers of our shepherds. There's going to be one of our shepherds who's going to be in our prayer room if you exit here on my right through the Kidman hallway. If there's any need, anything we can encourage you with, we invite you to come as we stand and while we sing.